Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Let Abercrombie handle summer with key pieces made for days that don't slow down. Their linen blend Henleys and woven shirts are easy layers that work from daytime plans straight into nights out. And for everything in between, everyday shorts and relaxed denim keep outfits feeling easy but still refined. Shop Abercrombie in the app, online and in stores.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
It's time for chaos. Welcome back to season 4 of our Call of Cthulhu Masks of Nyarlathotep campaign, often said to be the greatest RPG campaign ever written.
You mean ours specifically?
No, we didn't write it. Larry DiTillo, I believe is the name. Yeah, Larry DiTillo and Lynn Willis. They wrote a banger. If you're enjoying this, this new season, past seasons, anything we produce, and you want to support what we're doing, I want you to head to jointhenation.com. For as little as $12 a month, you get access to everything we've ever recorded, ad-free, exclusive episodes, bonus content, including BoneCont to this show. We've been doing this for over 10 years, over 60 systems, and that's growing by the day. Also, follow us here on YouTube. Give us a subscribe on youtube.com/theglasscannon. All that takes is time, which is free.
Wait.
Time is money, right?
Time is money.
That's all it takes. What's that, a nickel? Yeah. A nickel of your time.
Yeah, the conversion rate is these days.
And lastly, if you want to help us out and you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a download, rate, and review. It really goes a long way. Oh, man, I've talked enough. What do you got going on, Joe? Look at you guys wearing the merch from the show.
Baby.
We have merch for
did
Time
we
for
have
Chaos.
This during
we did not.
No,
we
did. I'm just now realizing what that is.
Have you never seen this?
Have you never seen it?
No, I've not seen
the Carter invention of the fist bump.
Look at the tentacles coming out of the sleeves.
Uh-huh. Yes. Oh my God.
Established 1925.
I mean, it's really rad, but two of these t-shirts came out of my mind.
That's right.
That's true.
Right. These are the brain children.
You know what I mean?
Let's see the other one.
We'll rub Kirk.
Thank you.
All right, now we got to see this one.
Let's see Kirk.
Come on!
Yes.
Carter with the chucks.
Yes, the game of death.
Yeah. When you sent me the image of this, I immediately went to all three members of my family. I was like, look at this! different variations of confused looks on their faces. Like, down to the six-year-old who's like, you're saying that's you? Like, it's me, but it's not me. You know?
He's an avatar of my soul, yes. Boy.
It's just everything I want to be. Yeah, it's great.
So
yeah.
To describe our new Carter shirt.
Oh, yeah, for the audio.
I call it Time for Carter on the website.
Time for Carter.
Yeah, nice. It's Carter wearing the classic Bruce Lee Game of Death yellow and black jumpsuit, holding also the yellow nunchucks, neither of which he had in the actual episode. He just had nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
You know,
yes.
But, you know, for flavor, it's great.
It's the most famous nunchuck scene of all time. The Bruce Lee one, of course. Is there a
possible
more famous nunchuck scene?
Well, I would say End of the Dragon was the first time. Well, it wasn't the first time he busted out the chucks, but that...
Because that one has got the long solo, right?
Yeah, that's where he just goes to town in the underground prison for a second.
But it's the yellow jumpsuit that really...
the yellow jumpsuit is the most iconic.
Looks fantastic.
It looks great.
Just an incredible, like, cultural mashup of these two iconic properties. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, so another one where you have the joe sticks also duct tape to the ends of those for the part two of this shirt.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. You had the staffaroo. What do you got there? Wolves?
Yeah. good.
Time for war.
The burning gaze of judgment falls upon me. Yeah.
Did you just buy this when we were in Minnesota?
It's a Minnesota shirt featuring some cool wolves.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got this before we went, but I was like, I'm going to Minnesota, so I like to get the hometowns.
That's great. You're a big T-Wolves fan. Yeah,
big T-Wolves fan, but not the actual sport, just the actual wolves.
Just the critter.
Yeah, just the wolves.
I'm a big fan of the beast. Yes.
And Nora, who are you wearing tonight?
I got swans on mine.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there they are.
Yeah.
Black swans.
Black swans. Two. There's like a black. There's a white swan next to the black swan.
It's a cool like Eastern European kind of pattern.
Yeah.
Sort of a cool folk horror.
Yeah.
Yes.
Embroidery.
I haven't worn my glasses midsummer. In 4 months. I don't see a swan at all.
I see X's.
She's wearing a shirt covered in X's. And
how do you drive?
I'm fine. The cars are big.
Yeah.
Cars are big. I feel like we had a similar conversation last season.
We did. No, it's just a way that, like, how did you
I can
you
see
not?
My laptop for the most part if I widen it. I can see your faces. You all look great.
Troy can't see for the listener at home. He's wearing a shirt advertising an IPA.
Right.
an old West Coast IPA, Stone IPA.
Yep.
The shirt is older than Joe.
It is the old shirt.
It spoke to me today. I'm like, this one.
Yep.
So that's what we're wearing, folks. What are you wearing? Sound off in the comments. We'll be right back with some Time for Chaos.
Yes!
Season 4. Season 4.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
Folks, we're back and we got some yellow walls, and I want to thank our sponsor for season 4. They're back, Chaosium.
Yeah.
Our good friends. They make this game. Mm-hmm. They make this game and a ton of other games. RuneQuest, 7th Sea,
Pendragon. Dungeons and Dragons.
They don't make that one.
They don't make Dungeons.
No,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog, the role playing game.
Yahtzee. Yeah, no.
Chaosium,
these are the best games. Call of Cthulhu, the best.
God, my. Yeah.
They really know what they're doing. Do they have a code for us this season?
They sure do. TFC4 code is going to, if you use that as your promo code at checkout, you will get 15% off, I believe. Anything in the Call of Cthulhu line. And that is always expanding. This is releasing in July. So we're a little early. So I'm not like 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that by July, they're going to have, whatchamacallit, out. What's it called? It's just Innsmouth. It's just like an expansion book on just...
Like an Innsmouth campaign setting?
Yes.
Get out of here.
It's just an Innsmouth campaign setting. Mm. It is a huge sandbox that is just gives you like hooks and all these different NPCs that you can kind of craft your own story around. And, you know, it's just such an iconic sort of setting for Cthulhu.
Innsmouth hooks, yeah. You say. Fish Innsmouth. Hooks, if you will. Yes.
Ah, hey. And Innsmouth is basically where I grew up.
Yes.
Newburyport.
That's true, yeah.
And if you that's don't amazing. Play, and if you haven't played before, get a starter set.
Oh my yes, God.
Exactly.
Or yeah. buy like five for your friends.
Yeah.
Indeed. And if you do play, you and your friends play certain sword and sorcery games that shall remain nameless.
Dungeons and Dragons.
And you're looking forward to expanding, to becoming more system curious. You gotta. It's so quick to pick up. It's a minute to learn, a lifetime to master.
I mean, I'm the poster boy for this because that's the only type of game I'd ever played for 20 years. And then Ding Dong here calls me,
it's me.
And says, let's play this game. And I was like, well, I don't know. There's no battle axes. I don't know. and I mean, there could be, I guess. But it blew my mind. And now it's all I ever want to play. It's so good.
Yeah.
It does that too. It can have that effect on you. And so, yeah, the point is that code TFC4, TFC and then the number 4, is it's everything that they have under the Cthulhu banner, which is a shit ton of stuff. Cthulhu by Gaslight, we did earlier this year.
The Regency one.
Regency Cthulhu, which Ross is a beast at.
One of my faves.
Yeah, there's just so many options. And now this new Innsmouth thing, it releases in July. So it's either right before this ep or just after this ep, it's coming out.
Keep an eye out.
Yeah, and the best thing you can do to help our sponsors is to go use that code. So, like, just use it, and they'll keep sponsoring us for next season.
Yeah, that's the other thing to just kind of add on is, like, if you like this show and you want to see more of it, like, the best way to do that is buy yourself Call of Cthulhu stuff.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Seems like a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, and use that promo code, stuff. And then they want to come back and do more shows with us, so it's awesome.
I'm trying to look for what I believe was a Facebook message between Rob Kirkovich and I when I said, hey, I haven't talked to you in 25 years.
Must have been a while ago.
I feel like it was Facebook, but now I can't find it.
Who knows?
But I'm finding a lot of strange Facebook messages. You ever look through your Facebook messages? Who is that young lady? A lot of strange stuff in there. Speaking of strange stuff, it's season 4. Can you believe it?
Holy moly.
I don't want it to end ever.
The things we've seen.
We haven't talked at all. That's not true. We've been hanging out on the road, but we haven't talked really any Call of Cthulhu, any Time for Chaos. You guys landed yesterday, didn't even know what hotel you were going to. So it was like there's been no like, all right, are we ready for season 4?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to talk about season 3 because I'm going to get into that with a verbose recap. But what's the excitement level, the fear level? How's everybody at? I just like to do a little check-in. I wish we had a campfire and some s'mores.
Ross and I were discussing this a little bit.
Yeah.
It's weird. This time's weird. Mostly because Joe's still here.
That didn't stop.
He hears that a lot.
I thought that might stop.
He's the weird sweetener in our coffee.
But it's due in large part to where we stopped last season. It was the first time we stopped sort of like mid-stream, mid-country, mid-adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we had ended after the greatest episode ever recorded of anything, the volcano episode.
Yes.
Last season in modern fiction. it would have felt like, okay, now let's reset and whatever. But now we're sort of right in the middle. So it's weird. It's weird. I feel nervous because I feel behind. I'm also convinced we're all going to die. So that's always hovering both in real life and in this game. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's an odd feeling.
Mm. Friend of the show, Vicky Moore, a great member of the Naish. She is playing Massive Nyarlathotep, sort of parallel to ours. And so she'll tell me things from time to time, what's going on in her campaign. And they finished Australia, and her character did not survive.
Great, great. That's what I want to hear. Awesome.
Yeah.
So we just throw that out there, put a little... little bud in your bowl.
Oh, my God.
I'm not entertaining any of that bullshit.
You don't like that?
It's truly nuts just how tenaciously these characters have clung to life over all of their globetrotting. Uncommon for this book, I think.
The dice want us to live.
Yeah. So far.
And it's not like my foot's been off the gas.
No.
I've been coming in hot. We thought Desmond was a goner in London. Mm-hmm. And you had, we were like, oh, and he's dead. And then I think it was Rob was like, wait a minute, did you roll with a penalty die or something like that? Or
I had to re-roll again. Trust me to remember.
Or there was
the
a major wound or something that we forgot about.
Yeah. And I took a sickle to the face.
Took a sickle to the face. I saw that.
You should see a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madness. If Vaughn clinging to sanity has still found a way.
But it's weird. Just like we got to like rev back into this.
Yeah. It's like
this episode, I'm sure will be a lot.
Kind of like, you know, you have so much propulsion. You're investigating. We're really in it. And especially when we're recording like this, just back to back to back to back. It's, I find like when I'm done with one of these, when I was done last time, it's like, yeah, I was in Astoria, Queens for a week, but really, I was in China.
Yeah. Like,
I spent all this time in the Imaginarium, but now we're kind of like trying to get back up to fourth gear after some time apart, but I'm excited to find it again. I'm looking forward to a thorough and prolonged recap.
It's quite robust. Yes. I kept trying to edit it down, but there's just too many key details that are important for you to remember, as well as the audience. This will also be the first season that isn't starting with a development phase.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't finish.
That's right,
John.
I'm on my third notebook.
That's quite notebooks the notebook.
Continue.
It's three of them.
Also, from a weird like frou-frou acting perspective, you got to remember the character that you're playing.
Yeah.
Right. And
got to find the voice.
Gonna find the voice again. Mine's not so hard because it's but
smart.
But it's still
a smart choice for all of your characters that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. What does he sound like?
Oh yeah, me.
Just have him sound like me.
Yeah.
Just constantly.
But
go,
they've got, you're, you know, doing they've what? Got, they've got voices. You had a voice. We'll see what your voice is. but you know, staying true to the prior three seasons, you know, and being able to reference things that happened in season one, if we want, those are the things that build character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, make a character develop outside of the mechanics. So
you find a letter like this was from written from that dude in the first season.
Yeah, that, yeah, the mystery of it too, but also remembering, oh yeah, this experience probably shaped this character in X, Y, and Z ways, and trying to remember all that shit.
Yeah, getting the recall back, which is why these recaps are so important.
Yeah.
And I know for the viewer at home, Troy's been working day and night with an accent coach just putting in hours.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to seeing how that's paid off.
Got
to
put in the work.
Yeah.
Got to put in the work.
Got the different regions down.
But I might just throw it all out and see what happens. you know, the globetrotting nature of this adventure is tricky because there are things that happened in Peru and New York that are still relevant now,
right,
four locations later. Luckily, we use Foundry Virtual Tabletop, and everything that you've discovered is there in some way. So you can always go back, and I highly encourage this week as, you know, drinking a coffee, having a little lunch, just kind of peruse some of those telegrams and letters and things you found, because you'll always see something new, and you're like, wow, that wasn't relevant when I first got that note from Gavigan. But wait a minute, now I know what that means, now that we're in Australia. But hopefully this recap will help cover a lot of ground. And for our viewers at home, you might wonder, like, what is the recording like? Do you guys like come in, have a pre-production meeting and a powwow, and you talk about how this is going to work? No, we literally came in and we make sure the cameras are all set. Francis is doing triple duty today. And we talked just about how was your flight? Good. Barely even did that. And then we just started recording because that's how we do it. It's a real game. We haven't hung out in a while. So let's play some Masks of Nyarlathotep.
Oh, yes. Gee-moly.
And we'll start with a recap. Joe, you're saying this recap is going to be how long?
I guessed 27 minutes.
That is crazy.
Well, underestimate how much time gets banted in between and responding and asking further questions.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
We're not going to sit here silently.
It's not you just
read,
doing a monologue.
I didn't factor that into my notes. Yeah. I just figured I'd be talking. But no, it's way better if you interrupt me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not going to be super. It is pretty thorough, but there might be things I miss, and you'd be like, oh, but ta-ta-ta-ta, and come in, interrupt it, then, especially for the audio listeners, they don't have to just listen to my peanut butter and velvet for the next 25 minutes. Here it is. If you're just starting with season four, what are you doing with your life? That's crazy. No one does that. Go back to season one, listen from the beginning, and about seven episodes in, we really hit our stride.
like a lot really of peak sour. TV. Yeah. You gotta get through some
just
dust.
Trudge through 14 hours.
Right. It's like then, Parks and Rec. Start with late season two and you're all set.
Somebody told me, like, wait till Rob Lowe shows up. Okay.
For the rest of you who have yet to turn off your YouTube, it's recap time. Season three began back in London, which is crazy. That first sentence.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, we're still in London.
Yeah.
This is the aftermath of the events at Meeser House as our investigators thwarted more cult activity, this time interrupting a ritual of the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh, a Nyarlathotep worshipping cult with ties back to ancient Egypt. This was the second such cult. I said first, second such cult they took down after an insanity-laced bloodbath with the NYPD at Juju House in Harlem, New York. The Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh was being run by a man named Edward Gavigan, who took over after his predecessor, Sir Aubrey Penhew, died. Gavigan's second in command was a woman named Zahra Shafik, an Egyptian national who owned a spice shop, was vying for power with Gavigan, and who apparently can shapeshift and is still alive somewhere out in the world. But Troy, why were they even in London? Who's Sir Aubrey Penhew? Nyarlatho, what? This all began years ago.
I can picture you practicing that in the car on the way here.
And you kept teasing that woman who I never saw because I wasn't playing in the game at that point, mm-hmm. who got away as like a shapeshifter. Yeah.
Yes.
I was convinced all last season she was just going to turn up at some point.
That's the most horrifying part, and that's why I shared that sort of off camera.
So he's letting us know.
She's David Dobbs.
She's still around.
She's out there and could be anyone.
Their bulletproof chest.
Their bulletproof chest. You did take a couple of chunks of lead.
Naturally bulletproof chest. Mm-hmm.
This story all began years ago in those aforementioned uneven seven episodes in Peru.
Man, I thought they were great. I had a blast. I don't know.
They're
great.
Know.
They're great. But man, once we hit New York, forget about it.
Yeah.
They're kind of like a prequel. In Peru, our investigators, our heroes, met a man named Jackson Elias. This was an author whose life work was studying ancient cults. Well, while researching one such cult, Jackson Elias began to uncover what he thought was a global conspiracy that, if brought to fruition, would mean the end of the world. Let's talk about this conspiracy. A rich ne'er-do-well, millionaire playboy, Roger Carlyle. This Carlyle made some eccentric friends. Egyptologist Sir Aubrey Penhew. There's that name again, Rob.
Yep. Yeah, I remember.
Psychologist Robert Houston. He's become important as of late at this stage of our adventure. Society girl, Hypatia Masters. You don't know anything about her.
Nope.
Neither do you.
Yeah, we really don't.
Some unknown African woman named Bunet, who apparently Roger had become infatuated with. And of course, Roger's old friend, bodyguard, confidant, and former U.S. Marine, Jack Brass Brady.
Oh, my boy.
Love Jack Brady. I have a question about...
Yeah. First question.
Robert Houston, who came up last season multiple times. Obviously, there's connective tissue here that we'll find out about. But I
had, Freudian psychologist Robert Houston?
I had forgotten that he was on the expedition.
Stylish.
That he was on the Carlyle expedition. Mm-hmm. Is he Australian?
No.
Okay. Is he British?
No, he's American.
American.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we think he's Australian.
They were saying Houston in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that was like a... Palpatine, Darth Sidious kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I can speak to Ross. the way that multiple names.
We saw the same with Audrey Penhew. He went by different AP.
Yeah.
A
Dooku / Darth Tyrannus kind of a thing.
Yeah. In Vader, in Sidious, See what they did there?
Some of the people you met in Australia mentioned a Houston. They mentioned a John Carver. Are these associates? Are they Houston? It is unclear.
Got it.
So Roger was pulled into an expedition, helped fund an expedition with all of them that took them from New York to London to Egypt and then to Kenya, where the expedition, as far as any newspaper will tell you, met its untimely demise. Jackson Elias, however, in his research, believed they were all still alive and working to hasten the apocalypse. But poor Jackson dug in too far and was killed for it. Sorry, Mr. Jackson. This cult's for real. So our investigators, friends of Jackson Elias. Francis like that.
Definitely practice that in the car.
This cult's for real. Our friends of Jackson Elias, our investigators here, they picked up the trail.
Never meant to meet your left foot.
I feel like we're living in the timeline where they succeeded.
Yes, yes.
They began by dealing with the cult of the Bloody Tongue in New York that killed Elias before moving on to London and dispatching with the Brotherhood. With information gathered in New York and London, there were multiple leads pointing to Shanghai, a business, Hofang import-export, mentions of someone named the Pale Viper doing dark deeds in China, and the possibility that Jack Brady was still alive and well and operating out of Shanghai. It is during this transition to Shanghai that two members of the squad stayed behind. Desmond Mahoney stayed in London to keep an ear to the ground, and Margot Sauer disappeared, fearing her involvement with a secret society could perhaps bring down the team. But Fairuz Gibran, Vaughn Villiers, and Carter Tillinghast kept on keeping on. On their voyage by sea to Shanghai, the group meets one Dr. Marion Wesley Walsh, a theology professor returning to Shanghai from sabbatical. He joins the party and becomes a key member of the group, at first disguising his true identity as a member of the British Secret Service, correct? Investigating the mystery squad for some unsavory deeds they did while investigating in London.
Light arson.
Mm. Light arson.
Slash murder.
Slash murder.
Murder question
of bad
mark?
Guys.
I'd also like to clarify that he is a professor of theology. You can be both a professor of theology and a spy.
The quotes was just because that wasn't all you were.
No, that's not all he was.
Dirty liar.
Most important member of the party.
With Margot and Desmond gone, Marion joining the squad, the group dynamic begins to shift a little bit. Carter starts to move into more of a leadership role. Fairuz dives deeper into this forbidden knowledge, her sanity slipping along with it, while Vaughn, already brittle, continues to fray under the weight of his strict religious dogma. Upon arrival in Shanghai, the group begins a multi-headed investigation. They conduct interviews, surveillance, and infiltration. They start to meet many of the players on the board, but can't figure out whose side they're on. Several factions appear to be operating simultaneously. Dr. Walsh, meanwhile, earns the trust of the group by taking on a key role as a translator, facilitator, and go-between with local contacts. He's been in Shanghai. He knows some of these players, but he doesn't know how they're all connected. And all the while, the mystery squad, the new mystery squad, begins to realize that Jack Brady is almost certainly alive and up to something. And every time his trail pops up, it seems like he is narrowly avoiding death. People are after Brady? I thought Brady was one of the bad guys.
He was already dead.
Yeah.
Right? Well, finally! 9 episodes into season 3, you meet the dead man himself, who is very much alive, and he tells you everything that went down. If I got into all of it, this whole episode would be a recap of just Jack Brady's speech.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But I'm going to tell you the important parts. Roger Carlyle fell under the influence of a mysterious African woman, this Bunet that I mentioned before, and he began having visions of meeting a god in Egypt. Carlyle became obsessed with destroying a protective eye to open the path. And at the Red Pyramid, Carlyle performed a ritual that caused a violent explosion and destroyed the eye, which removed some powerful protection. Soon after, Carlyle, Penhue, Houston, and Masters went into the pyramid and emerged later changed.
Brady could have gone in, right, and decided not to?
No, he was just watching. He's like, what are they doing? They went into the... They came back, and there was something different about
it. The real
them.
Egypt.
That's right. He started talking. He's like, where'd you go? We went to the real Egypt. Fuck does that mean? But from that point on, they began speaking strange languages and performing rituals that summoned creatures that would kill everyone who watched. In Kenya, Carlyle revealed to Brady that they had found a god who would return to rule the earth, and they were chosen to help bring it back. Realizing the danger, Jack drugged Carlisle and fled with him, escaping this group. Carlisle briefly returned to sanity, but soon deteriorated again. Jack eventually placed him in a sanatorium in Hong Kong and went into hiding, believing the expedition lost. He believed what everyone else said. Oh, maybe they did die in Kenya. And everyone thinks I'm dead? Great. Until he later saw Aubrey Penhew alive in Shanghai, confirming to him that the threat was still ongoing. Jack was training a militant group called New China to infiltrate where he believed Penhew was, a volcano off the coast of Japan. You join in the movement as a separate commando team for the best episode recorded in Glass Cannon history.
Do you know that there, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, there were some people that didn't like that episode.
What? Why?
I've never heard that.
Why would you tell us
I think
us
you're
that?
Just also, stirring the pot.
What are their names?
Just so... Wait, is that
no
true?
No one has yes. never not liked anything we've ever done.
I was so astounded. I was like, that was the most fun.
Wait,
I've
someone
ever
came
had
up
at
to you
table.
And said that volcano
hey,
app. Not for me.
Not for me.
Prometheus Bound, not so much.
The volcano app, not so much.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was can't just please so blown up. Yeah. I remember walking away that day and just like floating,
humming,
like
vibrating.
It was the greatest ever.
Nora cried.
Yeah. Nora was dead. My there. Nerves were shattered.
Yep.
Like that entire episode.
Yeah. Give me one more of those eps this season.
I'll try.
Last season two, it was Eagles Grange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Season one, it was the one where, Vaughn, ill met by moonlight, where Vaughn
oh, the cross cutting
infiltrates
between.
And he goes back and forth while Vaughn he's like dancing
ghost.
With the ghost.
Yeah
those are my favorites.
Blowing zombies' heads off.
I got excited on the drive in today. I'm like, what's that? What's the season four app? And how do I make 20 of them?
Right. No pressure.
Suffice it to say, you went into the volcano. Penhew was there and you killed him. This Ho Fang, who always seemed just too clean and perfect when you met him, he was there and a part of it, and Brady killed him. There were fish monsters. There were rocket weapons of annihilation. There were bombs. But together with New China, you believe you wiped out the threat in Shanghai, seeing things that will stay with you for the rest of your lives, which for some of you will be about 20 episodes, somewhere between 0 and 20. Brady, with both legs completely broken after saving the day, urges you to keep going. There are more protective wards that could be broken, more cult activity around these wards, and once they're destroyed, this god could walk right through. That's how it would do it, too.
Yep.
There's one in Australia, one in Kenya, and one already broken in Egypt that needs to be resealed. So you head to the land down under, where women glow, and men's accents are inconsistent. I thought I was done the recap when I was writing this. I'm like, oh, wait, we did about 7 Australia episodes.
Let's pause for a second.
No.
Yes, the please. Seal. Let's talk about the seals.
Yes.
And let's talk about the time. Yes.
Yeah. It's my seal.
We got
to meet
so many different, every species of seal we need to meet and kill. And where?
Yeah, we're never going to survive all this.
Yeah,
we're getting a little crazy.
But there is a ticking clock, right? There is an eclipse. There's something solar that we need to, because I was listening to this one recently where Nora was like, figured out the
it's
line.
In January
the day that's
of
mentioned
the
lands
date,
on an
yes,
eclipse,
the date
which
where,
is mentioned in one of the Scrolls of Asan.
Yeah, and it lines up with Kenya.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Egypt.
It's in the path of
it's
totality.
In the path
yes,
of totality,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So that
and not
is,
for nothing, in the basement of the Juju House, in Miser House, and within Grey Dragon Island, you found a marine chronometer that all
yes.
seems to be a part of this.
Right.
Countdown.
Time for chaos.
Yep. And in order to seal these things, I think there's something about innocent blood.
Yeah. A ritual has to be done to seal the seals.
Yeah.
Discovered a spell called the Eye of Light and Darkness, which is something you will need to perform in order to reseal these. And yes, there is something about blood of innocence.
They don't have
to
die.
Right, just gotta spill some blood.
Just a little bit of blood.
It's unclear whether
they
need
to. Unclear the amount.
But it's on the hour.
Just need 17 quarts of innocent blood.
Yeah.
And we should be fine.
Just give him a cookie afterwards.
Keep that blood sugar up.
It's a little sticker that they can show off all day.
I donated blood today.
Yep.
I donated blood to the Eye of Light and Darkness.
Seal. Yeah.
You did what? So you fall, you get to Australia.
Sticker.
And you don't have a lot of leads. You follow one of the very few leads you have and head to Sydney, where you meet a man named Professor David Dodge, who was house-sitting for a man named Professor Cowles. This was an early lead that you spoke with on the phone back in New York. Dodge lets you into Cowles' office, and you find the diary of a man named Arthur McWhirr, who talks about an expedition he took into the Australian bush where he saw remnants of what appeared to be a giant ancient city. But then some group came in, possibly a cult, and wiped out his whole team. McWhirr returned. He was sick, never quite the same after what he saw, and he died. So Dodge accompanies you to Port Hedland to meet with McWhirr's friend, confidant, former exploring buddy, Robert McKenzie, who wishes he had been there with McWhirr when he saw what he saw. The squad, you know that what you're looking for is somehow tied up in McWhirr's findings, so McKenzie agrees to outfit you for the journey to finish what McWhirr started out in the Great Sandy Desert. In Kunkudgery, you gather information from locals. You hear strange rumors, large birds in the sky, dead livestock, weird stuff happening out in the bush. You hear of an American named John Carver who came into town and got outfitted by a Kunkudgery local, Mortimer Wycroft. This is another weirdo who lives in Kunkudgery, known mainly for his three beautiful daughters.
Yep.
Wycroft set this Carver fella up with everything he needed, and then Carver and his team went off along the canning stock route for an expedition and never returned.
Can I ask a follow-up? The connection Please. Between McKenzie
like, about these daughters,
yeah, about these
between
sexy
McKenzie
daughters.
And
McWhirr.
No, the daughters Austin? Guy,
Wycroft.
Wycroft. What's the connection between McKenzie and Wycroft? Are they competing expeditionists slash backers?
No, Wycroft is a Kunkudgery local who outfits people for the journey, but he also outfitted this John Carver. And when you right. broke into Randolph's shipping company following a trail that you found in London, you found crates with Mythos items that were being shipped to Wycroft. So you think that John Carver might be mixed up in this Robert Houston stuff and maybe even Wycroft. So you actually...
But they have no connection.
They have no connection.
They've never
right.
worked
McKenzie
together.
Is also an outfitter, right?
Yeah, McKenzie hooked you guys up. Yeah. You got two Daimler light trucks.
Involved in the occult at all.
No, because
McKenzie seemed on the up and up.
He was buddies with McWhirr.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
He's pissed that he's dead.
Yeah, but Dodge knew him. Yeah.
We have connected Wycroft to the sort of like shipment route of the conspiracy.
Yeah. But possibly he's a middleman, but he's a part of it somehow.
Do we think that Carver
he's Australia's Ho Fang. He's the
the
sort of like a person in charge of like
import export.
But Carver, do we think that's an alias for Houston?
That's a big theory that could be Houston's post.
Yeah.
Death alias.
Yeah. Okay.
On the final episode, I believe, you decide after hanging out at the bar to like stake out Wycroft's, just see if you see anything, and all you catch is a sexy silhouette of one of his daughters dressing.
Very intent on
wasted on Vaughn, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasted on Vaughn.
Well, I'm not made of stone. I can see it. You've certainly,
I think it's clear.
Admire someone from an aesthetic, purely aesthetic perspective.
Right, yeah. Just the limerick of NPCs. It's a joke waiting to... Three daughters. There's a couple holes in the wall.
Yes, I mean, it's the setup for a plowman's jest.
While hanging out at some of the local bars, you meet a mad drunkard named Mad Ginger Muldoon.
Oh, yeah.
Who talks about a ghost encounter at Dingo Falls. Because he chose to sleep near the falls rather than going near a mad drunkard and his two weird sons who live out there named Slattery. You look at your route to the canning stock route, and it seems like you'll have to pass by this area. Either way, all roads lead into the bush, with strange Aboriginal tales of what goes on out there dancing through your heads. But season 3 ends shortly after Dr. Marion Walsh takes one of these things that you found in the crates at Randolph Shipping Company, this odd camera-like device, and he looks through it. His eyes go into the back of his head. He falls to the ground, smashes his skull,
laughs.
And when he comes to, he faces what seems to be a bout of amnesia. Can't remember who he is, where he is, who are you? Last images we see of Dr. Walsh, while the rest of you are out carousing with the locals trying to gain more information, is him roaming through the desert at night, examining the flora and fauna through eyes and a mind that is clearly not his anymore. Because in some other time and or space, we see the real Dr. Walsh wake up in a 10-foot-ish tall conical body with tubular claw-like appendages of an alien creature extending out, and he's strapped to a table where several other of these strange creatures come waddling up, clicking their mandibles to reassure him that everything is going to be okay. And we pan out to see a city full of black basalt towers and obelisks, cyclopean structures. Yeah. I think I mentioned an airship.
Nuclear-powered airship.
Otherworldly landscapes that are both ancient and futuristic all at the same time. And that is where we pick up season 4.
Wow.
Time for chaos.
Wow.
That's a lot.
I only have to do one more of those.
It's hard not to think of when you woke up as an alien. You ever see Galaxy Quest when they first teleport to the ship and they're like are waking up and the little the aliens come out and they've got little tentacles and they're like and then they realize that like the humans aren't ready for them, so then they like shapeshift back into like their like little humanoid. That's all I can picture.
There was what about the our goal, unless I missed it, heading into the desert is to. McWhirr spoke of a hidden city or an ancient. He's
thousands of year old,
like a 10,000 year old city
structure like giants could have moved there, like ancient giant gods built this city.
Yeah, and then, like it couldn't have been built by humans. It was so huge.
And then I think
and that's what we're trying to find, right?
It seems, I mean, unless I'm, memory is what it is, but we're moving into the bush to this spot where it would seem that Houston was on the trail too, because this would be the site where the seal
needs to be.
Where we can perform the ritual.
And it might be guarded by bad creatures.
There were people, there was some eyewitness account of seeing, like, there was a, I forgot who it was, but digging a large ditch into the ground, which I think coincides with something about that that has to do with that ancient city. I'm still trying to remember.
Well, there was the McWhirr notes, right, where they got only so far before people started getting plucked off. They found one of the guys with all the puncture wounds who had been poisoned by bat shit, and they buried him in a ditch. A lot of ditches going on. Mm. Where are my ditches at?
Yeah. Let's look at the diary of Arthur McWhirr here. This is probably a great place to start. Can you guys see that?
Yes.
Yep.
So this is a good jumping off point. And you just to get go, I didn't go into this, but while you're giving that a read, I'll cover the time here by mentioning that when you went to Jackson Elias's apartment, found him dead, saw the killers jumping out the window, and then did a cursory sort of search of that place, either you found it or you were given this by Jonah Kensington later, it appeared that Jackson Elias just 2 days prior had gone to a lecture at NYU that was being given by this Australian visiting professor named Cowles. He is actually a visiting professor at Miskatonic who had come to New York to give this lecture. So you were like, well, it had to do with cults and whatnot. And so you were like, oh, that's an Aboriginal cults, actually. So you were like, oh, maybe we should see if Cowles knew Jackson and all. You reach out to Cowles. I think he said that he had spoken to Jackson and he told you about the Arthur McWhirr's diary. He's like, I'd love to let you read it, but it's in my home in Australia. If ever there, feel free to stop by. An old friend is watching the place. He didn't mention the amount of freckles that this friend had.
We do have the coordinates here now for the city's located.
Yeah, you have the exact longitude and latitude and everything that you need once you get out there. Now, the reason that you have to take the canning stock route is because of water. Even though you have trucks, you're going to run out. There's no way to take the amount of water that you need. So you've got to kind of go north out of Concudgery to get back around this mountain pass. And then once you get to the canning stock route, you'll go along that as far as you can before you head north to these coordinates.
Right.
And that is 27 minutes.
Nice.
I think we still need a little more time of background. So
this whole app is recap.
Yeah.
It's a clip show. Hey, remember episode 32?
Clip show.
Remember when? This reminds me of the time we blah, blah, blah.
Cool, cool.
All right, so anything in there that besides the coordinates, very important.
Yes.
You have that.
We have the description of the violence visited upon Jock, the guide, and the camel.
Who thought he saw both men and bat monsters. And the father of all bats is their sort of dark god version, which we assume is just another avatar for big old Tonguehead, right? Nyarlathotep.
The big N.
Yeah.
Because all these different places we've been to have had similar legends where a evil god has been trapped and will hope someday might return. Saw it in Peru. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, the bloated
god
woman.
The Kara Siri, the bloated woman in China, the bloody tongue in New York, the black pharaoh in London.
Yep.
There are all these manifestations.
It was mentioned that all of the so all of the gods that appear in all of these newer mythos creatures are very land specific and culture specific.
Yes.
Each one has been different. But and it's also there's like a through line of there's an old Aboriginal benevolent god that gets defeated by these new fucks that come in.
Mm-hmm. Like Rainbow Snake. Rainbow Snake
was mentioned.
And forgive me if you said this. I was just rereading the Coeur's diary. I also remember a detail where maybe this Carver guy comes in, Carver, perhaps Houston. I felt like I remembered a detail that there were Aboriginals that were being led by a white man.
Yes.
You remember this?
Yep.
Yes.
They were being fired up by a white man or something.
Yeah.
It's got to be like Houston.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Or Carver if they're the same person.
Right. Yep.
So another detail to keep in mind.
And these people, we saw it with Penhew in the volcano, right? The Carlisle expedition seems to be aging, not in reverse, but they seem to not be
aging.
Suffering from
the effects of age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in some cases, backwards because of how when we saw Penhew, he appeared much younger than in the photographs.
Right. And Carlisle is in an insane asylum somewhere in Hong Kong or something, right? That's where Brady kind of set him up. And we think he's still alive?
Yes, you believe he is in a sanatorium in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's no more Carlisle driving the car there after what he's seen and experienced. Brady saved him by pulling him away from these people.
Right. Okay. All right.
He's gone.
So we got a boss fight.
So do we need to summarize the diary real quick? Or did we do that?
We talked about the coordinates. Anything in there jumping out at you?
Basically, the coordinates of where the city was, describing what an amazing find it is, took photographs of it, but many of the plates were ruined.
Yeah.
Now, some of the plates survived and made their way to Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Did we ever see them?
Here is Cowles's research that goes over the plates.
Mm. Okay.
And this talks more about the rainbow snake, like we were mentioning before, and section 3 is a set of 4 overexposed glass slides. Each shows a few sweating men standing beside enormous blocks of stone, pitted and eroded, but clearly dressed and formed for architectural purposes. Dim carvings seem to decorate some. Billows of sand are everywhere. Though he did not bring the book with him, Kyle says that the discoverer, Arthur McWhirr of Port Hedland, Australia, kept a diary in which he recorded several attacks on the party by Aboriginals. McWhirr reportedly records deaths to victims from hundreds of small punctures reminiscent of the earlier bat cult.
And these only were supposed to be in the possession of Mackenzie?
The plates themselves?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I will say that it's not relevant.
Got it.
As to the actual plate. You have all the information about the plates that you...
Okay.
And McWhirr only got so far, right? Because they had to turn around because they kept getting attacked.
Yeah, his whole team was wiped out. And he stumbled back.
So he never really got
there. So let me just...
No.
Yeah, so picking up from there, he's... Because he says he showed them to Mackenzie and he was flabbergasted mm-hmm. by the plates.
Of course, saw the
photos. But that was after...
But from far away.
But that was...
Like, he took these photos from far away.
Oh, he gave the plates to Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, there's so much shit that went on, but I believe you said, like, oh, do you have the plates? He goes, he came and said he was a friend of McWhirr's, so I just trust him. I believe his name was Houston.
That's right.
I gave the plates to him.
Okay.
All right, so that's how you know that this is all connected.
And then McWhirr, just to be clear, yes, his whole party basically was killed. All of their animals were killed in an extremely violent night attack by something they couldn't really see that seemed inhuman. Since the attack lasted only a couple of minutes, it's hard for me to believe that anything human could have done so much damage so quickly. But then what was it? And then the next entry is, have told Robert Mackenzie about the city. Together we aim to return one.
And how did McWhirr bite it?
The flu.
He got sick.
Influenza, apparently.
Uh-huh.
But as he was deteriorating, he was hallucinating of flying creatures.
Yeah.
And
was
speaking either in the past or present tense, we couldn't tell, about them.
Yeah, being flying serpents.
Flying
bats. The father of all bats.
Right.
You heard about large cults. Flying birds from the drunk locals.
Yes, indeed. Once again, we find ourselves kind of walking into folkloric things that seem to be...
Yeah, right from his diary. We are well east of an awful line of dry lakes. The heat is terrible. Our hopes are low. There's nothing here. This is right before he finds the city. Today, we sighted several enormous birds flying lazily above us. How did they get here, and where can they be going? Because there's...
It's there's the no desert. Water.
There's no food. There's no water. There's no... Right?
And it is this that we are walking into. But we must to... And just so I'm clear, this... We have the inkling that, obviously, one of these seals is here, which, as far as we understand it, is shut. The only one we know is definitively broken is in...
Egypt.
Right, so you're traveling to Australia to stop the cult activity that is going to use these seals.
We're trying to stop them from opening.
Which means we go in and find this place, we need to have an innocent person with us to bleed.
Right.
And it's and are we clear as to what that means per the ritual, what innocence even implies?
Somebody
who has not been touched by...
Yeah, somebody who has not been touched by... We've all gone nuts at some point.
So, a sane person. So I think in my head for this time, it's like, we're like, yes, Mr. Dodge, come with us.
Right this way.
Yes. Well, I remember Vaughn immediately being like...
So rude.
So in a way,
we have to chant. Sama, sama, teo, sama, till the dawn.
And it's on the hour that we need to bleed this person.
It's a lot of blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Onto the eye. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
Great. I
Moonrise, the blood of an innocent must be used to fill the pupil of the eye once per hour until the dawn.
Great.
Yep. Cool.
Is this also the
blood?
Ineffable eye must be worked into a natural substance, which is innately hard. Is this part of it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I found a handout called the Ineffable Eye.
Yep, that's very important. You're going to want that. How about, just for shits and giggles, a good old-fashioned luck roll?
Nice.
We're back, baby.
Oh, let me do one more recap detail while we're doing it.
Because you don't have a luck roll.
Dr. Walsh had to do a pow roll when he looked through the Jonsky, and I spent 3 luck in order to... I'm sorry. I spent 3 luck on a roll to understand what the device is or how to use it.
then when I and then when I used it, you know, where I had to do this power roll, and it had a luck roll associated with it, and if I was going to smash my head on the way down,
because they went to you grab the camera,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you
I was just like, oh,
oh, don't want to destroy the
device,
slam.
Yeah.
They've got it.
Yeah, and I rolled the luck roll, and I rolled a 16 over 15. So if I hadn't spent the three luck for a useless success, because it was. I'm describing this wrong, but basically I spent three to get a regular success, and I needed a hard, and so it was useless, and then the luck roll failed. Because
well, ultimately, it wouldn't matter because your mind was already blasted.
But it was a wonderful story moment, because when you hitting your head, it just lended more credence to like, oh, there's something wrong with Dr. Walsh.
Yeah.
Right. Something ain't right.
Also, I'd like to point out that when I went back and rewatched that part, Nora goes, yeah, look through it.
In my defense, I also rolled to try to look for it and failed in the understanding of how to activate the device. You looked through it because you were successful in activating it.
Right.
And then looked through
it. Was just like, I'm all thumbs with these things.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, look through it.
Yeah.
No offense, but thank God.
Thank God. For real. Like, you can't lose, Feyruz.
Would have been devastated.
Yeah.
Can't lose, Feyruz. That's my motto.
All right, so luck improvement roll. You want to fail this luck roll. And if you do, you get D10 back.
Oh.
I've got a 17 luck.
Let's go, baby.
I got 35 luck, and I failed with an 87. So let D10 luck back. Here it comes.
Seven luck.
Well, if Walsh gets any luck, I got 9 back.
Oh, I didn't know you were taking part in this.
Yeah, why not? You never know.
How embarrassing for you.
Cut to Yith Space as you're like, playing Yith Blackjack.
Blackjack.
Split the 11.
Sitting back with a cocktail on a Yith cruise ship.
Did you guys all get luck? Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah.
You got your luck. Oh, all right, good.
7
You're looking
points,
at your Yithian
baby.
Cards. It's just like square root of 1? What the hell?
The Yithian girl from Ipanema is playing.
But it's all like in dissonant chords.
Folks, stick around after this quick break. It'll be the first tarot read of the season for season 4. We'll be right back.
The girl from Riley goes slithering.
When she passes everyone, she passes and goes.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Melissa, and this is Moms and Mysteries.
We're two Florida moms obsessed with true crime. From infamous cases like Ellen Greenberg to shocking Florida stories like the Dan Markell killing.
With 55 million downloads, we bring you new deep dives every Tuesday and Thursday.
Listen to Moms and Mysteries on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host. And I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes. Those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Hey And we are back. Hey, are you coming to Gen Con this year? Because we're doing about 19 shows and three of them are Call of Cthulhu Live with a lot of the people that you see right here. Brian Holland from Chaosium is going to be running one at the con, and then I'll be running the tour shows, two Call of Cthulhu Live shows at the Athenaeum on Thursday and Friday night of Gen Con. Very excited about that. But in the meantime, Nora, I see the deck. Is that the box that the deck goes in?
This didn't come with it, but it very...
You woke up one morning and it was just there?
It fits.
It's usually just filled with weed.
There was a monkey's paw inside. Right.
I just buried it in my backyard and moved on with my day.
So this is the same deck.
This is the same deck.
Same deck.
That I've used. We have to talk about the tarot card from... the previous episode.
Yes.
Because it was such a long, detailed thing that perfectly described what happened with Marion.
It was insane.
When after we cut early, and I was like, we have to talk about this. And it was like a very detailed, like, oh my God. And it was just your face the whole time was great. But upon the rewatch to take my notes, there were things in that tarot reading that made sense at the end of the episode that you don't even pick up on because there was so much, it went into such great detail of like all the shit that happened when you look through and fell over and all the shit.
Yeah.
But then if you watch it again, there, knowing everything that happened at the end of that episode, there's more in that.
Well, tell me.
It's too long.
It's too much. Okay.
It's too much.
Go
back and watch it. Yeah.
Connected it was. Yes. Well,
layers upon layers.
Are you going to draw the recap card?
Okay. Who wants to?
Joe doesn't have a lot to do today, so why don't we?
Let's try to include him.
It'll be a long season for Joe. Maybe he'll be the resident cutter.
Okay.
Let's do a cut. Let's do a good cut.
Okay. The Knight of Pentacles.
We're back, baby.
We're back. I forgot that word.
Can't have an ep without Pentacles.
The Knight of Pentacles.
Yes. So for those listening. And not viewing. It is a knight in metal armor on a black horse holding a pentacle in his hand.
Okay.
Find out.
Dude, that makes me think of something you said when we were talking back there. That's
already?
Fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
Already.
I can't do it now. It's too on the notes, but that's.
Oh my God.
We're
going to have to describe that later.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it.
Put a pin in that.
All right.
Sorcerer.
Witchcraft.
Sorcerer.
Sorcerer.
I would have been burned at the stake. I can't time travel. They'll burn me at the
stake. Where do we begin? You get back to the hotel. This little inn, I can't remember what it's called, the Outback Inn or something.
That was the older one, I think. I can't remember.
We are at the...
Yeah, the Outback Inn and Steakhouse.
with the Blooming Onions.
No Rules Just Right, I believe. Mm-hmm.
You're at some shitty little Mort Hedland, motor lodge.
Yeah.
It's the something grand.
Right.
A Concudgery Grand.
Concudgery Grand.
Out and was like looking out into the night like, where the hell is...
We all were, I think.
The doctor.
Yeah.
I think that was the last image of these guys.
For you.
Little dreaming.
There's
that he's
in the doctor.
Everything's going to be okay.
Right. I could totally see the three of you just looking out into the darkness. The camera switched to the other side where we just see you looking in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's... I mean, we could pick up there.
But yeah, I guess it makes sense that we... I mean...
I'm kind of open. Where do you think... Do you think we're like you're back in the room now, like putting your heads together? I imagine there would be a cursory search for Dr. Walsh. So does it start with sort of
maybe
like...
Maybe it's us coming back from the search.
Yeah. I like that.
All
right, so now it's late in the wee hours. Maybe you're only a couple hours from the dawn. Yeah. Maybe less because you go out there, but you also don't want to go too far. You don't know what kind of animals are out there. Fucking dingoes smack you in the face.
All right, yeah. So maybe the door to Vaughn and Babe Ruth's room just kind of blows open and come walking in.
You're dressed in that outfit now somehow.
Yeah, I'm wearing. Yeah, Carter's wearing the yellow jumpsuit.
Use the nunchucks to open the door.
It's like, it's like Homer with a gun. I can using it to do anything.
Turn on the light. Okay.
You open the door.
Yeah.
I see you standing there.
Carter nunchucks the door open.
Yes.
And we all go walking in after hunting for the doctor.
Unsuccessfully. Where is he? I wasn't that much of an asshole to him, was I?
No, you were gambling most of the night.
I dare say you're not to blame, Tillinghast. The doctor's not of his right mind.
Right. We had stayed behind. He had stayed behind while we went out gambling.
Right.
We came back.
I say it's always smart if someone gets a head injury to leave them alone to sleep.
Yeah. So now we have... Now, Dr. Walsh... That's what I was getting to. Dr. Walsh, who is suffering from amnesia, is now out and about. We can't find him. It's late. Dodge is piss drunk.
He had all the books open. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he read...
All of his belongings are here.
God, that little doughy... shithead.
Okay, we can... Do you think we should get a vehicle and go out there now? Go wait till sunlight? But I don't want to know if waiting that long might be dangerous as well for him.
I dare say we can't go clambering around in the bush by night. Don't know where he's gone off to.
I guess maybe we just wait till the sun comes up and we try to look for footprints or something. I don't know. Like, do we...
Must be so terrifying to be out there all alone.
Must be terrifying to not be able to trust one's own mind. It's like a mind of a bloody child.
All right, well, maybe we just try to get some rest, and then when the sun's up, we give it another go. I don't know.
How many hours would you say it's before sunrise?
Two.
2 hours?
Okay.
All right.
You got a big journey ahead of you, but now a member of your team is gone. I imagine Carter, especially seeing all of Dr. Walsh's stuff still here, you might be taken back to London when you were approached by men who threw you in the back of the car or politely escorted you in the back of the car to Zara Shafiq's office above the Blue Pyramid Club. And you know you've been out asking questions, not knowing who may have been listening. Maybe Walsh was abducted.
Yeah.
Sure, he wasn't in his right mind, but even with amnesia, wouldn't he take his clothing, some food? That has to be something that's circulating through your head as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so you try to get some sleep. You know Dodge is passed out drunk in one of the rooms, and so... I would say you get very restless sleep, and around 8 a.m., 4.5 hours later or so, you bleary-eyed, that moment, you know, when you're like, fuck, I can't sleep anymore. I need sleep so badly, and I can't. You're awake. And so you get up, maybe doll just like, I'm going to go see if I have any coffee in the lobby. Can I get some for you?
Yeah, sure, Dodge. Thanks, man.
One coffee? How do you drink it?
I don't give a black's fine.
Like one black coffee.
Thanks for asking.
All right, I'll be right back. I think you're sharing a room with him, right?
Is he in our room too? Because I was sharing with Walsh.
Yeah, Dodge had his own.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I was pissed that Dodge had his own room and I did not.
Right, yes. So he comes out and sees you. Maybe he's like, oh, coffee? All right, black. Be right back.
Yeah, I might go down with you, actually.
Room is civilians.
Yes, I want to see if there's any, if you can get a proper cup of tea in this establishment. Yeah, and also have a talk with the proprietor, if there's anyone at the desk.
Yes, maybe somebody's
seen. I don't suppose anyone saw the doctor leave last night.
What's that now?
Dr. Walsh is missing.
Dr. Walsh is missing?
We're getting rather tight, Dodge.
Let's not judge. We were all drunk.
No judgment. Forgive my tone. It's only that I've barely slept. The doctor seems to have either wandered off, been taken off in the night, leaving all his personal effects behind.
He left everything behind in the room. Well, I sure hope everything's all right. Do you think maybe he just needed some fresh air? He's still not in his room. Have you checked this morning? Oh, you're sharing a room with him. He never came back.
He never came back. He had clearly been reading all the books and documents that we had, and I'm pretty sure all his clothes are off, right? Like, he's buck naked? Do we have that impression?
No, I think he had the shirt on his back.
And that's less erotic.
Reading those books, you said.
Fine.
You had mentioned, probably not during one of our actual role plays, but imagine off screen that some of those tomes that you have, they play tricks on the mind. Is it possible that he saw something he wasn't supposed to see and maybe it got a little loopy?
I gave him my book, which would have riveted him to the point of not wanting to even eat or separate himself from the book, so he must not have been reading my work.
But he definitely walked out. Somebody had a track roll. Somebody rolled track last time, so we knew that he had walked out.
Yeah, you saw footsteps going out into the desert, and they just sort of...
We know that he walked out into the... what is it? That's not the bush yet, but it's like...
Yeah, it's like in the direction of the... into the wilderness. I think I mentioned the Kunkhudri Grand was just up against this wasteland behind.
Yeah.
You're right on the edge here. Okay. So what we should... do you think we should alert the authorities?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's something I could do. Let's start thinking worst case scenario here. Let's say that we don't find him. Do we call it off? Do we go out there alone? Maybe he went ahead.
He would not have just gone ahead. His mind was truly addled by something he saw in one of those books, but his mind was addled already from his...
Can I take a look at what the pages are open to?
In the...
Yeah, I just want to see what page... Like, if there's all the open books that are about, what is it open to something specific? Just to get a sense of what was the last thing he saw.
You look and, like, he was... Were you reading a lot, do you think?
Yeah.
Whoever was driving the car, you know, there's books everywhere. It just looks like they're all towards the end. Like... He had to have been like either just starting at the end or rapidly consuming everything.
I mean, it's harder to read these.
I'm happy to just be along for the ride. This is a big thing for me, but it's up to you. If you feel like that this is the end of the road, then I can smooth things over with Mackenzie, and we'll just we'll make sure that we devote all of our attention to finding Dr. Walsh, making sure he's safe.
This is a predicament because we are on a time crunch for this seal.
Yes.
We got to at least commit a day to trying to find our buddy.
We do have to try to find him, yes, of course.
Go out there. Carter's of two minds here because obviously there's the greater good. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the squad.
Yes.
I know.
It's like it feels wrong to... It's one of those things where I think Carter's like, yes, there's the greater good, but... If we're sacrificing our friends.
Yes.
I don't like it. All of his belongings are here. We should at least look for him.
I agree in that. I'm sure it's playing about all our minds that... I mean, everything we've read says that this... And everything we've experienced would lead us to believe that the... If there are devotees to whatever this cultic force is in operation here... If we've been asking around, no matter how subtle and under what... Colorful aliases.
Do you think maybe we were spotted at the warehouse? And we've been followed?
If at this point we can be down making tea or whatever, is there a clerk or anyone that we could speak to?
Yes, there is someone behind the desk.
Excuse me.
Oh, just a moment, filling out this paperwork, yeah?
Absolutely.
He's got a pen at least.
Absolutely shocked that, an inn with so few tenants could have so much labor to be done.
It was just a crossword.
Well, for God's sake.
What's a seven-letter word for not remembering anything?
That might be... I'm not good at counting up letters. Might that be amnesia?
Oh. I guessed right. Seven.
To the point. To the point.
Of how odd that was the answer in my crossword. Well, how can I help you?
Yes, I seem to be a
you
fellow.
You need a clean pillow?
Pardon?
I love the crossword clue, just being not remembering it.
Barely a clue.
Missing friend.
Yes, did the member of our party, the estimable doctor, rather... thickly set chap. a rather academic mean.
Oh, the fat Brit!
Wow.
What about him? Does he need a pillow?
I just know that you colonial chaps don't have quite the grasp on tact. Some others have. Yes, did he make his way out at a rather late hour last evening?
I was working last night. I did see one of the members of your group when I believe just sort of went out. I thought maybe for a cigarette and went out back. But I never did see him come back now out that back. I think so, about it.
Yeah. He was alone?
I believe so, yes.
Can you tell me anything about his demeanor? You said it struck you as though he might be only going out for a smoke.
No. He just seemed curious.
Walked out back.
All right, Carter's going to go back outside now into the daylight. And if we had spotted tracks last time, he wants to go back to that kind of area.
See if we can track him further.
And David wants to know if he should go alert the authorities, or is there a danger in doing that?
I feel as though there may be a danger.
But if we're just telling the authorities that we have a missing friend.
Yes.
I think that's okay. I think the mindset would be we gotta find this guy.
You're really worried that he has amnesia and he could be lost somewhere in the city. At least if they found him, they could bring him home. My concern is if he just wandered out there. I don't mean to be bleak, but you can only go for so long out there without a water source before you're not gonna make it. If the dingoes don't get you, the dehydration will. He had no food.
Is there a vehicle that is able to go out in that direction?
Out there, it'd be a little bit tricky. The trails that we'll take to get to the Canning Stock Route are going to go north. Here, it's just going to go on foot. But we could spread out in the day. It's going to be hot, but we don't have to worry too much about predators.
Let's just at least see if we can spot a direction.
Yes. We need to get a better look into the distance. Let's have a look at that peculiar telescope. No.
I can just see.
No. Here, by the way, a cup of tea? The kettle on down here?
Are you talking about the hotel clerk?
Yeah.
Oh, we have some tea. Lipton's.
Have to do. Great. So, cup and cigarette in hand, Vaughn will go outside and once more peer out into the bush now at sunrise. And
yeah.
Look, it's just, it just stretches on and on.
State of his mind. Just could be wandering in circles out there.
Asking a kangaroo for fucking directions. I want to try a track now in the daylight.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I have a 10. No, I failed.
I would like to try as well.
Okay.
Nope, 92.
Ooh,
why not? Well, I could always fumble. I did not, but I got... 26 over 10.
Do I want to use? Is Walsh worth 16?
I want to use
how much luck is he worth?
My luck?
Yeah, especially since you know the result.
I mean, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. As players, it's yes. Like how long do we role play trying right. to find somebody to fight?
I suppose it's the authorities then.
Okay, maybe.
We at least do like a spot hit maybe for something, not tracks,
absolutely.
But something else that maybe... personal affect or anything that would have been
bullshit.
Rob just grumbles fucking bullshit.
Where the heck did you go spot? Oh yeah, that's a regular success.
You're able to find some tracks that go out there and you follow them as best you can for a little bit and they just seem to wander. Like they'll go in the direction of some sort of flora and then kind of pace around in front of it. And then they meander off. Like there was no direction in mind. Meander off for, you know, a quarter of a mile one way. And then they kind of get messy and lost. And you see other prints that are animal prints and you just kind of lose them eventually. And I would say you could spend a couple hours even, the better part of the morning looking and you realize it's like it's needle in a haystack.
We should have the authorities try to find him.
We're not equipped for a missing person.
They might at least have horses that could go out.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all right, all right. I mean, maybe, you know, if he comes back, we're not here, at least we can have someone message us. Well, message us, Jesus, where we're going, probably not.
Just text us. Send a text.
Yeah.
Shoot us a text if you see him.
But just as long as we make sure everybody here knows to keep an eye out for him, if he comes back, let them know what his mental state currently is.
Yes, if that clerk can leave his crossword puzzle for a minute, maybe we'll leave a note with him if he ever comes back.
Yes.
What's a six-letter word for mind swapped? Okay.
All the clues are germane to the mystery up until this point.
Mm-hmm. All right, I guess we have to consider... moving on, I don't know.
Pressing on.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you have everything you think you need here in Concudgery before hopping in these trucks and heading out there? The trucks are loaded with all the equipment. Mackenzie has told you where to pick them up.
Right.
You know, if you needed more stuff, you could go to this Wycroft. You could visit him during the day, but you don't really know. You don't even know what's going on with him. Do you just, what do you think?
Yeah.
I feel like if we went to go see Wycroft, maybe there's something to gain from, we'll just say, sussing him out. Mm. However...
Unless he's kind of in with the...
That's the thing. If he is an adversary, then maybe it's best not to make
himself... Get on his radar, yeah. Yes.
What? Yes.
He does have these daughters.
We could see the daughters later.
Just trying to look for any silver lining right now.
Long time. Butter.
I mean, yeah, I know. Ross is curious to check out Wycroft. But yeah, now at this point in our adventure, there's so much paranoia around anyone who's been touched by this malevolent conspiracy.
We know that he helped Carver / potentially Houston, right? So...
But yeah, there's a question too of like, it's almost like, would we go there to slyly sound him to see what he knows?
What he knows about where?
Or,
yeah, I mean, it could be good for Carver intel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I doubt he's going to answer any questions that are like, you know.
We could claim we're buddies with Carver on his side.
Maybe.
Joe's just sitting over there being like, I'm Wycroft. I'm about to be Wycroft. Please go to Wycroft.
It's my new character. Go to see
one of the beautiful daughters.
Yeah. Or, you know.
I'm playing one of the daughters.
Give an alias.
We've given you every breadcrumb.
Yeah, okay.
Just do it.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, there's no, I as with all these moments, there's no right answer.
Right.
It's what feels right for the characters, and you know, this is a really difficult situation with you probably feel like you're abandoning Walsh.
Yes, feels
you also feel helpless.
Right.
And you, I think there's a part in the back of your head is like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't involve the cops. Maybe are they just going to come track us down in the middle of the desert and shoot us?
Well, if it's amnesia, he won't remember us.
Right. And maybe there's another part who's like, well, once we head out there, maybe we'll find him.
Possible.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
All roads lead to Walsh.
Maybe we do go talk to Wycroft.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the more we know about Carver and who we're tracking, because as far as we're concerned, Houston's already out there, right? Like he took a group and he has not come back.
Right.
Right.
What we know of Carver is that there's one, I guess, and this may be clearer if I had paid attention more to handouts, but Carver is either a House Houston alias, or what do we know about Carver beyond he got outfitted and went out there?
Just an American showed up.
Did he show up out of nowhere? Like there was no, and said that he was an old friend of McWhirr's or something? Mm-hmm.
Carver?
Yeah.
Trying to think. I want to make sure.
Like what were his credentials, man?
Yes.
While you were talking to people at the bar, someone said that there was a crazy American who took a few dozen men into the bush, had them dig a shaft 30 feet deep, and told them to stop.
That's what I was trying to...
There's your shaft.
Yes. Gave them a big bonus and sent every man back to Darwin to collect his pay. And no one has seen Carver or those men he hired since. So now they're...
Wait. What?
Sent them back and they disappeared?
He sent them, instead of sending them back to the country, he said, go to Darwin.
But none of them went to Darwin.
To pick up your money. And they never...
So how do we even know
They would think they went to Darwin and they'd come home to Kinkajou to look for another... They never came back.
Yeah.
So there's this like...
But then how do we...
Did they show up in Darwin? How did anyone know?
No one knows. This is the story that someone said that like, oh, he sent them to Darwin to get their money. They did it. But then they never returned and neither did Carver.
Yeah. Remember how Carlisle went into the pyramid?
Yeah.
I think he went into whatever thing that they were digging into in the same manner.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's possibly. What we know. So it's possible that he is, or it's possible he's connected.
He had his outfitting done by Mortimer Wycroft, and he was apparently doing surveys and diggings along the Canning Stock Route.
Surveys and diggings to what purpose? We don't know.
He's looking for something.
Looking for something.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe...
Maybe Wycroft knows a little bit more about that.
So maybe we go to Wycroft, we claim... Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
You can claim that you're like a... his financial backer, something like that. You paid for this expedition, and this guy's not come back.
Oh.
And now you want to get where's your return? Where's your stuff?
Yes, right, too right. All right. I'm not as skilled in the arts of spycraft field work as the fellow who's currently wandering around the bloody desert. But I'll.
I mean, didn't you tell me once you pretended to be a Texan fairly convincingly?
Oh, yes, I suppose. Oh, dear God. Do I have to pretend to be American again in order to keep up this little...
Hold on.
We did get kicked out of that place, though.
I don't know. Unless somebody's got a better idea, I'm just trying to figure out, how can we learn more about this guy?
As much as it feels as though we're leaving our friend abandoned in his situation, I feel there is still a part of me that compels me to press forward, especially since we know that time moves. Inexorably onward.
We're still in the same town. Maybe he shows up by the time we get... Maybe we get back for lunch. He's sitting there eating a sandwich.
Maybe if we go see Wycroft, maybe that'll give him enough time. At least we'll know that we waited a bit to see if he'd returned.
Well, shall I go and then go into Wycroft and sound the man? Do you wish to come with me?
We can come with you.
Yes.
Yeah, very well. All right.
So you head to Mortimer Wycroft's shop. You've been there before. At night, watching Joe's new character undress.
It's all tied together.
All right.
Joe's Red Shoe Diaries inspired.
I dropped
character.
That seed in there.
All right. We saw the comely silhouette of.
Yeah. All right. So you get there. Wycroft's shop occupies the ground floor of a run-down building on the edge of Kinkajou. It looks like there's an apartment above it. That's where you saw the aforementioned young lady. A couple of small sheds behind the building, one out back, one along the side, and a lone petrol pump sitting outside. Now that you come during the late afternoon, there are three very attractive, very young, very blonde women lounging around in front of the store. They're all tanned up, but they're dressed in as laborers. They have trousers and shirts on, and they see you approach, and they all smile, and they're like, oh, look at these boys. Where are you from? America? England? Someplace exotic? Oh, take me away from the bush. I'll die out here in the heat.
A saloon rendition of...
Oh, what brings you beautiful strangers to Kinkajou?
They all speaking at the same time.
They all sound like Madame Slocal from Are You Being Served?
Can Feyre's do a psychology role? She's picking up on any lesbian vibes from any of them.
No, they are all like just staring mainly at Vaughn.
Damn,
but one funny. Of them is one of them is slightly curious in the disfigured man.
What are your names? You're so sexy.
Sexy. Yeah.
Really?
What are your muscly names?
The name is Stevens.
Stevens, eh? How exotic.
Yes. Yes, I come from abroad. I was curious to follow up on some outfitting that I believe you're the proprietor.
Oh, you're just here for Daddy. You just want to work from Daddy. It's always about what he can do for you. How about what we could do for you?
This is...
Okay.
Have you been to the local pubs?
Yes, I've had
We love to drink with men.
Do you?
Yes.
Does
yes,
your daddy
you can
know that
too.
You do that?
Oh, Daddy, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. We run the shop around here, not him.
I like that.
Yes, do you now?
Nice female-run business.
Yes, women-owned.
Ah, yes. Yes. Wonderful. A real girl boss. Lean in. I'm curious. Well, perhaps my consort is with you then.
What is your name?
He says, like, speaking to the what appears to be... Am I looking at triplets here?
There's three. Like, they all look to be the same age, but this is impossible.
So they're
very
the
close
Disney
in age.
Disney triplets from, right. like, Beauty and the Beast.
Like, in my head, it's like Picnic at Hanging Rock.
25, like the... 23, okay. and then 18. Okay. And you're talking to the oldest one. And right. she says, I'm Gertie.
And this is my sister, Shula. And this is my other sister, Janice. All unmarried, all single, all hot to trot.
And it's Janice, the youngest one, the 18-year-old, that is like...
What are you hiding under your mask and pants?
A gaping hole.
Mask and pants.
A gaping hole.
I'm sorry I asked.
It's true to both.
She fires a gun.
Hey, what's you got under there? Did you get hurt in the war?
Yes, actually, I did. She glances guiltily at Bob.
She like puts her hands on you lovingly. She's like, "Were you shot in the face?"
Okay, yes, I was. Sorry, madam.
You should tell her the whole story.
Tell
it's
me,
very
please.
Riveting.
I'm taken.
She wraps her arms around you and hangs.
Where? By this woman here?
No, not me. They're both single.
Oh, taken. What, taken by your job?
I'm technically
your job's
not single.
Not looking.
I'm very flustered right now.
It's okay.
I want to do a fucking psychology check.
Is it getting
check.
Hot out here?
Rob is actually flustered. He can't even look at Troy.
Yeah,
he's just looking at his computer.
I want a psychology
really?
Check.
Really? I do the whole scene with Madam Linley and you, and you can't even work with some triplets?
You can't even let a hot 18-year-old...
Well, I just can't tell if this is like a Troy bit, or this is actually like they're supposed to be this weird like sirens.
Just
picturing, oh brother, where art thou? Mm.
Go to sleep, little
baby.
Go to sleep. What did I do? Fucking
you
psychology.
Find it so unbelievable.
Regular check.
That a girl would find you attractive.
That three women immediately, you walk up and three women are like, hey, wanna fuck?
It's a small town.
It's just suspicious.
Yes.
There's new fish in the water.
Yeah, regular success on this.
On a psychology check?
Yeah.
If they have ulterior motives, then they are quite good because they seem to be very interested.
Okay.
But maybe there's something else going on. With a regular success, you're not getting any extra there.
That's fine. That's fine.
I know it's hard to believe that anyone would be attracted to
this.
Carter.
Is a Rob Kirkovich psychosis issue right. playing out right now.
But the other two are interested in Vaughn and maybe when Gertie takes a shining to Vaughn, the middle sister Shula starts chatting up Beirut. What is it like to hang out with these beautiful men?
It's wonderful. I highly recommend
it. How do you keep your hands to yourself, or do you?
I don't. You're missing out on so much.
Just tell me all about it. And are you looking for more... more hands to join your
POG
orgy.
Thruple.
Lord. Well, let me see. Oh, well, we would have to ask them if they're interested in expanding our polycule.
Oh, I can tell by their eyes, the way they're looking at my sisters, they're definitely interested. What are you doing out here? Are you going out into the bush?
I'm thinking about it, but, you know, I've heard such horrible things.
Oh, it is quite dangerous out there, but two strapping young men and you yourself look like you can handle yourself in a fight with a kangaroo. I'm sure you'll do just fine out there.
Do you go out into the bush?
Oh, I go into the
bush. Yep, just keep looking at the destroyer.
Yes, I go into the desert.
Direct eye contact.
The occasional bush.
You go bush diving.
Has it met up to your curiosities?
My sisters and I are all known to bush dive from time to time.
Miss Wycroft. he says, speaking to Gertie.
Gertie. Yes, Mr. Stevens. Oh, it's like a poem off my tongue when I say your exotic last name.
Oh, yes.
See Stevens. What it's like to be called exotic?
Is there a V in there? Or is it a PH?
Skin positively crawls. Yes, Miss Wycroft.
Yes.
I was a one-part investor. a financial backer in a particular expedition that went off
not
long ago. And I was curious because my investment did not have a commensurate return. I'm curious, and perhaps since it's become clear that you're the real brains of this outfit, the one who runs things around here.
Just the oldest.
Did you outfit a chap by the name of Carver?
Carver? No, I don't know anyone.
Canning Stockroot.
I don't much pay attention to the name. So many men come through here looking for things that they need. It's possible.
You didn't see a handsome American?
Oh, I see lots of people. An American, though?
Yes, I suppose this was a chap who didn't just look. He was a chap who, I think... became fully supplied by
fully
you.
Supplied? Well, you'd have to talk to Daddy. He handles all of that business. We're just out here, helping with cars and perhaps petrol if you need it and whatnot. And as she says this, a real creepy-looking guy comes stumbling out of the front door. He's pasty white skin, which seems impossible in Joe? This in this desert.
Every NPC we meet could be
sunken eyes.
Joe's clearing his throat.
Skeletal frame. Oh. And he says,
"Girls!" "What I want? You need petrol? If you don't need any petrol, you'd stop talking to my girls."
And they all just kind of like pull back. "It's all right, Daddy. They were just asking some questions and they were talking about maybe wanting to take us out to eat and dinner."
"No, they can't be doing anything like that. You need it. What do you need? You need gas? Where's your car?"
"No, I think we've got enough petrol there, my good man.
Keep moving on. Don't be talking to my daughters."
"Well, it's only this, Mr. Wycroft."
"Wycroft, that's right. Mortimer Wycroft. Who's asking?"
"The name is Stevens, sir."
"Stevens.
I was a part investor of the Carver expedition."
"I've never heard of him. You here to buy something or just ask questions?"
"Well, it's rather curious to me that you've not heard of this Carver chap, because
I've never heard of
him. I imagine that you outfitted him entire."
"I outfit lots of people.
Got his kit fully packed."
I outfit lots of people. Don't always ask their names. Don't know any Carver."
"Well, this would have been an American chap. I've
outfitted Americans before. I've outfitted Spanish. I've outfitted French. I've outfitted people from all over the world."
"Wow, what a cosmopolitan business you run, sir.
I take all comers, but not you if you're not here to do business, if you're just here to ask questions."
"Well, as I'm looking to follow up upon my investment, it may be business that I'm about."
"And maybe a couple bills might jog your memory."
"Yes.
Well... What do you mean? You are looking to be being outfitted, or are you going out into the desert?"
"I'm considering it, old man. Considering it, I'm trying down my
whereabouts. You need supplies? You need maybe a guide? I could come along as a guide. My services are available. I've got some deliveries I got to make out there. Maybe I could accompany you."
"Oh well,
this guy is horrible."
"Yeah,
if I'm not making it clear." "Oh, no. He's just like itching himself the whole time and just like..."
"Oh, his poor daughters."
"Oh, God. Well, it would be a pleasure just being in your company, good man. But,
the conversation alone is..."
But you're going out there to make deliveries into the bush? I was under the impression there weren't many little way stations to make deliveries to."
"Yeah, but I know my way around out there, and so some people I do business with, I gotta go out there from time to time and drop some stuff off. So I'm gonna go out there, and I'm gonna bring my truck, and I'm gonna make some deliveries. And so if you need help, I could go out there with you, or you could just hire me, and I'll bring stuff to you in case you get lost and you can't find the canning stalker out, and you don't get any water. I could bring you water. You just tell me what you need Wycroft for, and I'll help you."
Well, things turned around on a dime. Are all these stops you're making along the stock route?
From time to time, I go all over. I'm go where I'm needed.
And no one's needed you Who needs you currently?
I don't talk about my business with other customers.
You just started talking about it.
I just tell you what I can do, but I'm not going to betray their trust, and I wouldn't betray yours either. A lot of strange stuff goes on out there. Yeah, what you do is your business. I'm just here to help.
Yes, I can see that.
Give him a fucking, give him a bribe.
Okay, well.
Offer some just cash.
Pay him to not come with us at this point.
Yes, too.
As I said, I was the investor. I'm looking to, sort of close the loop on a particular financial investment. So I don't need your services as a guide just yet. It's rather that I wish to be outfitted with information, Mr. Wycroft. And perhaps, and I'll do it, just kind of slip a bill into his coveralls. I was wondering if... Now, normally...
That's real, Bill.
I've seen a newsboy bite a pound a coin just to confirm its authenticity, but if you're gumming my note...
Sir, shreds it into crumbs.
Which may depreciate its value. I'm not here to yuck your yum. So much to say that it's this Mr. Carver that I'm interested in.
I told you,
I don't know. Deal of money in his endeavor, and I wish to see it brought to term.
I don't know any John Carver. I told you that.
I do a psych roll.
You don't know any John Carver?
That's right.
Well, I didn't say his first name, sir.
Well, I don't know a John Carver. I don't know a Jim Carver. I don't know a Tom Carver. I don't know any Carver.
I rolled a 21. Under 33, so still regular success.
On a
psych,
he's lying.
Yeah, clearly.
Especially where he just caught him in the lie because you never said his first name.
Oh, he really
name.
Did. I thought you did that just like whatever, but you did. Okay.
Yeah, so now those two things together, you think he's lying. You also get the sense that he's fucking either wasted or crazy.
Probably both.
And so not a super reliable source.
Okay.
So maybe he's not... Well, I mean, he's probably evil, but in a different way.
Yeah, he seems to be like, he seems to be touched, which makes you wonder. You start thinking about Mythos Idas that you saw. Maybe he's not just a go-between. Maybe he popped open a couple of those boxes.
He's like,
seen things.
Yeah, a little too curious.
Yeah, but...
too much bush diving.
Yep.
Too much. That's what too much bush diving is. That's what happened to Michael Douglas.
Yep.
That's a hilarious joke.
That's a hilarious joke I just said.
Not a 100% medically accurate theory on Mr. Douglas' part.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm proud of myself.
That's why we play the game, folks.
And
it's only episode one.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, don't cut this out. Okay, so great.
All right, so
in the middle of this...
I don't know him.
You don't know him, yes, of course. So, Vaughn seeing the spark of madness in this guy, and perhaps disturbingly now seeing always a little bit of... like game recognizing game in the eyes of anyone who's been touched by these forces. As you say, wonders how reliable this information would be, even if he gave it.
I mean, all I can think, you know, the question is, do we want to fucking root around in what he's got back there in terms of more items and stuff that we could potentially... I don't really know what else to get out of him.
I'm wondering if we are just if we appear as though we haven't set our hearts out to going out there yet. We're playing around with the idea still. What do you recommend us if we were to go take? You know, what would you recommend we need and at least get a lay of what's inside?
Yeah,
because to be clear, we have everything we need, right? Mackenzie gave us everything. And Mackenzie's in this town, or we moved on from Mackenzie?
Mackenzie's in Port Hedland.
Right, okay. But he gave us all the shit, and we have...
You've at least slipped him a few bills, so we're like, we're not completely wasting his time.
No. We're considering, old man, going out there to pursue this lead so I can finally see some return. But what would you recommend as someone whose line this is that we take out into the bush? It is a rather forbidding landscape.
I'd make sure I had underwear, clean underwear, arc lights, flashlights, batteries, truck parts, blocks, tackles, engine parts, food picks, kits. Did I mention flashlights?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll make sure I had those. It's dark out there.
These kits that you speak of, what do they contain? May we see one?
A kit? Oh, you want to buy a kit? Got it. Go get one of the SA kits.
Okay, Daddy. And Gertie kind of like just lets her hands fall from you very sexily.
Oh, she's been on there the whole time? Okay.
Yeah, they've all been like, they didn't let their hands off of you. And even Shula has like had her hand on the small of your back the whole time.
Go to sleep, no. You little baby. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they just are trying to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Have like someone that? Take them away.
Yeah.
Take me away from the bush. She comes back with this kit, and it's like it's a prepackaged set of like chemical reagents and materials used to like measure biological activity. So it's like if you're doing digging out there, you could use these kits to like test. Oh, what's the age of this rock and whatnot?
Whoa.
Wow. Thorough.
That's more advanced than I was expecting.
Right.
That's gonna be some jerky.
It's very, very common for expeditions out here. When you
I'll purchase one.
All right. Do you want to come inside my kit? Just inside.
Yes, why not? Lead the way, old man.
All right, come on in. Come on in. I'm not the money you gave me before. That doesn't count.
It was just a
sign of good faith.
Sign of good faith, indeed, old chap. Yes.
All right.
And you go inside, and there's a counter there. It's very threadbare, and he's like, you can see that. Looks like he sleeps down here. Mm. There's like a bed in the corner, a stove, dresser, wardrobe, little ice box, hat rack, and he just goes behind the counter, and he's got like some ledgers back there and whatnot. And he's like, "All right, that'll be," and he tells you how much it is.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. You sure you just want to buy one?
Yes, I think that'll suffice for now.
While this conversation is happening, you said there's some ledgers.
There are some ledgers.
Are they on the counter? Where what are we talking about?
It's kind of like behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is it open or closed?
It's just a book, like a couple of books laying there. It's clearly like for accounts.
Maybe Carter kind of catches Vaughn's eyes and he's like, and then maybe as an indication to get him to take you back further, you know?
Is there like more to this interior, like where he keeps his stores, so to speak?
Basically get him to get as far away from this thing as
possible. What I'm trying to do is to coax him away from his desk so Carter can get an eye full of the ledgers.
Yeah. Okay. You could walk over to his, to try and pull him over to his bed area. and then there's stairs going up.
Show me your bed.
Yeah.
I'll walk over.
Is this where
there.
The magic happens?
Yeah, sort of. Yes.
It's where you made three women who look nothing like you.
I'll walk over to the bed.
Somebody slept with that man three times.
I'm sorry to be indelicate, old man, but is there a Mrs. Wycroft? As I walk over to
not the anymore, bed. No, she died.
Oh, shocking. I'm terribly sorry to have brought it up, old man.
And I don't want to remarry. I'm a father. I'm a full-time father. That and a full-time business owner.
They say it's the hardest job you'll ever love.
Yeah, so the girls, they'll see, I don't know if you notice, they're very beautiful. They get a lot of attention from men. That's why I keep a shotgun behind the desk, you know, because if someone tries to touch one of my girls, I'll pump a bullet lid.
Well, yes, of course.
This is my bed.
Look at this stuff, isn't it neat?
Look at my stuff.
Look at this stuff, isn't it neat?
All right, so while that's happening,
say your collection's complete.
Did the girls come in with us, or they're outside?
No, they're still outside with Shula.
Shula's
I'm sorry. They're still outside with Fairus. Don Shula's out there. Right. Have you been to my steakhouse?
Yeah. I'll show you my rings. I want to grab this ledger stealthily.
All right, give me
sleight of handedly.
A sleight of handedly.
Come on, get it. Come on. First big roll of the seas.
37 under 66.
Okay.
Grab it.
Get away from the counter over there. But you've already got the book in your hand.
Yes,
step over there. It's private.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't dream of. You're saying that's your lice as well on that pillow?
That's right.
Starts.
It's practically alive.
It's teeming.
Yes, it's. You do a fine job, sir, being a noble and eagle-eyed father. keeping the ne'er-do-wells away from your progeny there. But what if someone were to pitch proper woo to one of your daughters, try to take them away from all this?
Pitch proper woo?
Yes, try to be a husband to them.
I knew that day would come one of these days, but they're very busy with their own interests. They don't have time for long-term relationships.
Well, what
they're devoted they are.
What
personal
interests do they have outside of petrol pumping?
Don't be asking so many questions about my daughters, all right? They're good girls. They're good girls.
Oh, yes, I don't doubt.
And I'm going to be as good as them someday, too.
Oh, that's a weird thing to say. Right? All right, Carter's flipping through this thing. Well,
and I'm going to be as good as them.
Yes. Yeah. I want to do a psych roll on these girls outside.
A little psych roll? Okay.
I wonder if he's like...
You got to get more than a regular, because my regular didn't get
trying,
shit.
Trying, but my luck is not high right now. But I rolled a 14.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
14.
That is a hard success.
Okay, and this is a psych roll.
Yes.
Okay.
What's, what's up with these broads?
What's up with these broads?
So they're incredibly friendly. And as I said to one of you, to Carter, like, it seems like if they're full of shit, they're really good at it. Mm-hmm. But you do detect a little bit of an edge underneath there, a little bit of a fire, like, as sort of fawning as they are over the men, you feel like, actually, I don't think I'd want to piss them off. They seem to be, like, pretty ripped and pretty, like, there's this undercurrent of... kind of a little something in their eyes that seems a little off.
I mean, at this point, we're probably pretty adept at recognizing that kind of shit.
Yeah, you've seen this look before, and some people are really good at masking it. I mean, when you met Gavigan, you saw like fanaticism there. When you met Ho Fang, there was that, is that this, or is it just the heat?
Or like a desperation get out, yeah.
You look through the ledger, and you do not see a John Carver, but you do see an R.H.
Whoa.
How long ago was it?
Ricky Henderson.
Must have been Ricky Henderson. What
the fuck was he
Ricky
doing
Henderson.
Why would he buy anything? He'd just steal it. The all-time leading.
You are in the zone right now.
All right.
Why would he buy it? Steal an entire outfit for an expedition.
You having a good time, Joe?
I'm
just not doing shit over here.
This is the best. No pressure. Right. Just hang out.
Okay. Part of me wants to just give you an answer, but I don't know if I have the exact answer. I feel like I have the exact answer. What is Jared's thing about this?
About time. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
He acknowledges that it does. His thing is more so like, I know I read it, but I can't remember it.
Okay.
And it's irritating me. Just move on. It's not, you know, it's not like it's super important to the story.
Yeah. Okay. I would say it's been over a month.
Short answer is the outfit is Houston.
Yeah.
It's looking up. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. And so that makes you think like, oh, no, it's R.H. Maybe it's not Robert Houston. But, you know, he came to Mackenzie, got the plates. I'm an old friend of McWhirr's. And came out here, has some sort of connection to Wycroft, or maybe Wycroft's just the go-between, cracked open too many crates, and his daughters were looking at weird stuff one night that they found in there, but clearly, seems like Houston now went here, and then went off into the desert. All right.
Anything that stands out in terms of what, is there a list of what he took? Anything that seems different than anything else?
No.
Just equipment, nothing equipment. And an idol.
Yeah, I mean, you
and the squid face, bat winged thing. Yeah,
there is an indication that like he outfitted him with the basics that are similar to what you have, but also like the other contents.
Just as other contents,
yeah, other contents
with that gnarly symbol on it.
Yeah, so like you start to put two and two together. You wonder if like stuff was being shipped from Randolph to here, and he is taking that out as well.
Yeah. Okay. He needs it to bust open the seals.
Okay.
I mean, you remember, you didn't even want to look through some of those boxes.
Yeah.
You did. I think, was that thing sitting on top of it? Or was it?
We found it inside.
I opened the crate and then did a little switcheroo. Oh, no, that was before. No, that was the one we didn't take. That was the first crate that we opened.
Yeah. You always find statues and shit you don't even want to look at because you know it's a...
Carter's. Okay. I don't look at it.
Yeah, how about a spot hidden around this whole place to see if there's any... anything that stands out that's not just like a pickaxe and a fucking
something more. He's getting a little antsy, so let's do a good... Yep. I'm going to say to really try and see something, I'm going to need at least a hard success.
How's a one?
You did a one?
Did a one.
Oh my God.
In my pants.
One in my pants.
I think that just means you pissed
yourself.
So
that's a one under 39.
You just peed your pants.
I peed my pants. At the sight of this one.
Oh my God, how's a one?
Wow.
Hello, one.
I feel like I blew it on a spot hit, but we'll see.
Hey.
All right, well, this is interesting.
That's right.
A critical's a critical. I want to give you some juice here.
Right, yeah.
Give us some juice.
He's a filthy guy.
Sure.
But he's a mechanic, so he works cars, petrol, and whatnot. However, you do see some filth on his chest, like peeking out of the top of his shirt. That looks like, it doesn't look like a stain. It almost looks like paint. And while you look over towards Vaughn, you see there is, looks like some sort of book underneath his bed. It's a critical success.
Wow. That was juicy.
Ooh, that's a one, all right.
Paint.
What else do you need?
What color is the paint?
It's ritually...
Yeah, painting sigils and
or is it?
Shit,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I think it's paint, but it's actually
demonic sigils.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Peru with the tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. When you weren't here for this, but when in Peru, this guy that they suspected was involved with cult activity, they went to break into his room, and he was napping on his chair with his shirt open, and had a huge tattoo to the
father of maggots. Yeah.
Father of maggots.
Okay. So
you know the father of maggots.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'd get a tattoo of the father of maggots.
That's so metal.
It's so cool.
That's what your kids call you.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden's third album.
Should we steal this book?
Yes. The answer is always yes.
Or will he know that and then we'll be tracked down and killed?
It's just striking me. Now,
tomorrow
of course.
Tomorrow problem.
Of course, Vaughn.
That's an episode four.
He's just trying to distract him while you do this stuff. He doesn't yet know that this RH is in the ledger. But if he did know that, he'd also know that, like, the whole Carver, like, I'm an investor of the Carver expedition.
There is no Carver.
There is no Carver.
He
so,
just got
like,
made.
He's made us, or he's like, or maybe he hasn't connected the dots yet, or he
maybe
knows. He at least knows we're lying,
Pups.
Or will know.
Anything else you need?
Oh,
yeah, got lots of customers coming today.
I think the kit will about do it, old man. Although you never know, I may be back to rely on your services once again once I get the. Really dedicate myself to whether or not I'm going to actually chase the blighter down. Well, I thank you for your services, sir.
Yes, please come again. Anything you need, I've got most everything you need. Just don't be looking at my daughters.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it. A gentleman all the way. And I'll shake his hand and make for the door.
We'll sleight of hand with a bonus die to grab that book.
Mm-hmm.
He's distracting him
and
well
I'll
enough.
Hold his hand and like take him by the shoulder. Thank you
firm hand.
Turn
very
him
much
towards him.
That's one that I rolled. Okay. See if I get better than that. I rolled a 12.
Okay.
Under 66.
My man.
That's extreme.
Extreme success.
13 would have.
Steal it.
Wow. Dude, right. Amazing.
Extreme success.
Extreme critical and extreme. Carter is locked in.
Three-fingered Carter, the backdoor man.
All right, you slide under your hand.
I tie my shoe. So they have a Dr. Seuss, like I have a Cat in the Hat that's sticking straight up.
You slide your hand under there. Reaching for the book, maybe watching to make sure you're not being seen, and you feel this like jar, and you like look, and it's like a jar of grease paint. Put that back, and you reach further, and you grab this book and shove it in your shirt.
Ladies,
wow!
So I'm like pulling
pulling Wycroft's attention away from the room. Yes, yes. Always a pleasure to speak to another diligent entrepreneur and businessman. Yes, this is what makes the empire run, sir. This is what makes it run.
Yeah, really dig, really all the creatures you have walking around in here, some of which might be poisonous. Thank you, sir. Good day.
All right, thank you. So come back again if you need anything. Girls, give them space.
And they're like, oh, please don't go.
It was lovely meeting you. We shall meet again, I hope.
Oh, I hope so as well. Please, are you staying one more night before you go? Maybe we could meet and have drinks or just sleep together.
They were only a little more overt in their intentions.
You know?
I think I'm picking up a signal.
Yeah,
am I getting a vibe?
We do everything together.
No.
Okay, well, thank you.
In desperate need of a finishing school. I thank you for your kind attention, and I will give you a polite and platonic wave on my way off your property.
No, don't go. Oh, I hope we see them again.
Oh, I feel like Odysseus tied to the bloody mast.
Seriously.
I go striding away.
Oh my god.
Well, did you take a gander at the... I saw you in the corner of my eye making good with the ledger book and also shooting daggers at me through your mask. What did you find under the cart?
We have a lot to discuss. Let's get back to the hotel.
Righto. Yes, quite a bit to discuss. With those daughters, my God.
Vaughn, you were...
Cloying. It rather cloys.
Well, what did... okay, all right. Did anything cross your mind?
Only the lack of... civilized education is shocking.
Really perturbed. They had a whole vibe of, like, I don't know, the women in Salem. It doesn't matter.
Something was definitely off.
Oh, you want to fucking talk about what? Let's get back to the hotel. Cut to the hotel. Can we be at the hotel?
Yeah, we need to
get back at the hotel.
Before they
back in your room.
Great.
All right, so listen. First of all, Ledger. R.H. Clear as day.
Go!
Okay? Listed all of his regular items, said other contents. So he didn't take just the normal loadout, if I could speak in Resident Evil terms. He took
he didn't
more
just
than
put the normal things in his itinerary, in his bag of holding.
He didn't just have that, he had some other things, okay? Also, did you guys see that paint on his chest?
What?
Yeah, he had some weird...
Hard to tell, he was covered in grime.
Well, there's something that wasn't just dirt, okay? He had something painted on there, all right? And, more importantly, they pull out a book. Whoa. This is under his bed. Feyruz?
What is it?
Feyruz?
Immediately takes it.
Careful your delicate sensibilities. Whatever that man has spirited under his cot may be rather shocking. There's some full of Tijuana Bibles, no doubt.
Surely the ammunition can't hit us twice.
All right, what's the cover of the
what
book?
What is it?
So you start an initial study of this book?
I want to know.
Go to Tome City.
I want to read the title.
Okay. Wondrous Intelligences.
Plural.
Wondrous Intelligences.
The irony that guy owned it.
Does it list an author?
James Woodville. It is quickly looking. It is written in English. Around the 17th century, it is an octavo bound in fine red leather. There's some worn damage, and it's very well thumbed. It has been heavily read and reread.
16th century, did you say?
17th century.
Ah, 1600s.
Red leather, so not human skin or
good enough, just cow skin.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather, yellow leather.
I want to just quickly just...
Kind of give it a little, little perusal. Yeah. It's something you feel like you could crush in a couple weeks' time. But to kind of get a sense of what this is, it seems to be an account of a merchant living during the English Civil War and after, dating the time of Oliver Cromwell.
Oh, yes. Protestant, bloody Protestants.
Along with the... author's
thousand yard stare
tedious self-congratulations and dogged explications of his singular sexual practices, Woodville also seems to describe a group that he had contacted, which he refers to as the Great Race of Yith.
This is strange. Great Race of Yith.
Great Race. I mean, maybe this
is. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Great Race of.
Well, the device said for survey, for the Yithians to survey, right? The thing we found that described.
That's right. It did mention.
Doodad.
Mm-hmm. The survey Yithians. It's maybe one of the obscure names of these cults. My God, stretching all the way. I suppose it would stretch all the way back.
I mean, it can't be a shock at this point. How far have we stretched back some of our...
Much farther. But the...
Wondrous intelligences.
That an artifact here could be connected to something written about in the time of Milton.
I mean, maybe there's some connection in this to what happened to Walsh.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, but perhaps this book, if you can give it a little Feyruzel perusal, will...
I like that.
Tell us,
I'm going to use that.
Give us
some man. We are back.
We're back, baby.
Can tell us a little bit more about who these Yith are. We've seen Race of Yith. We've seen strange other things that aren't conventionally human, possessed of a malign intelligence.
Well, I was looking for some travel reading, so I think this
should...
What was up with those chicks, Feyruz?
The strangest thing, they do seem to be touched by something.
Uh-huh.
We have
They're very convincing.
It seems to me here we have this little outpost here in Australia seems to have its own Madari in the mix.
Yes. So, well, you saw that. You saw their father. He's not right in the head. And they mentioned going bush diving.
Yes. And if he's painted up, my God. I mean...
They must have seen something along the way.
My little pantomime as one on the hunt of Carver. He knows. He knows then that I was lying.
Well...
I guess we gotta... Maybe we start getting moving.
I think perhaps we need to... press into the desert with or without Dr. Walsh.
It's only a matter of time before they figure out that book's gone anyway.
Yes, that's and he true. Knows the bush better than we do.
So now we are very much pressed for time.
Yes.
And Dodge is basically our guide, right? Because Dodge said he's from this area.
He's going to know certain things. He'll know Aboriginal tales. He'll know, he'll have a better sense, but he's never been out there. That's why he wanted to come, for the chance to, move away from the academic.
His whole claim is, I grew up around there. Yeah. It shouldn't be a problem.
Well, he grew up, but, he's never been into the Great Sandy Desert. Right. But it's still great to have a local, especially if you have any dealings with the Aboriginals, because they're very, they keep a distance.
I wonder why.
If Wycroft... wasn't lying about having to make several stops along the way, and we have the direct route by knowing coordinates. Maybe that gives us a little bit of an advantage in time.
Yes.
Are you looking at this tome? Yes, are you, studying it? Yes. You know, some time here? There's something in here that just feels like it has answers. And so I would say, as the gentlemen are chatting, you're looking, and you find this passage that contains a chilling evocation of a war that these Yithians were involved with against deadly beings who whistle down dark caverns and dwell beneath windowless basalt towers. And you read about these Yithians, and they seem like they're these large 10, 12 foot tall creatures with long appendages that end in claws, and they whistle and hoot and to talk to each other. And then you see this passage about a device. A device exactly like the one that Dr. Marion Wesley Walsh looked through. And you realize the answers lie somewhere in here. You lose 1d4 sanity immediately.
Okay. The initial study.
Wow. No roll.
No roll.
Just lose it.
Just lose it.
Use it or lose it.
Lose it, sister.
Three.
And
down to 96 sanity.
Your Cthulhu mythos.
Down to 89.
Your Cthulhu mythos score goes up by one. Ooh. And your max sanity goes down by one.
Max. Oh, max sanity.
How does this momentary bout of sanity loss inflict you as you're sitting there reading and the men are talking?
Frickle, frickle, frickle.
Piece of curse.
She's, as she's reading this tome, she's still kind of mentally placed at Wycroft's establishment. Just recalling just the conversations and those three girls are surrounding her and all of the arms touching become these tentacles. Yes. And they morph into these creatures as she's reading what these Yithians look like. And they all kind of envelop and strangle her essentially. And so she's feeling like she can't breathe. And so she's like sitting there, you watch her as she's like,
only thing that takes you out of it. Dun, 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 there's a knock on the door.
Yes. And I kind of walk. Hello, yes, hello.
Sorry to bother you. There's someone in the lobby that is asking for you. I didn't want to say which room you were in, but it seemed urgent.
Quite right. And I'll open the door, peek out. Is it the fellow from the?
It's you can't see anyone. So you'd have to come back to the lobby. Yeah. It's just...
You know who it is? This is a small town, no doubt. No one you recognize?
No.
What's he look like?
You can come. I'm just the messenger. Feel free to come yourself.
You just want to sketch this fucking cliffhanger,
you just
don't
look
you?
Over, just, she's just like...
I actually have to pee. I should have peed before I came and delivered this message, but it's leaking out of my...
Ferris, what's... Are you quite all right?
I'm fine.
All right.
I'm fine.
Okay. Maybe put the book down.
Maybe put the book down.
All right, let's go downstairs.
Close it.
Yes, have a... If you're short of breath, I find one of these to always... he says, offering you a cigarette.
She, lights up. I'll tell you. I'll tell you momentarily. Let's just...
Okay, all right.
See what this is.
Right. And, amazing. These sort of things would be in a book from the time of Oliver bloody Cromwell. The damn... Civil War, round heads, and
let's go.
And I go walking out and make my way to the innkeeper's desk.
All right, so three of you go?
Yes.
Leave your rooms and head towards the lobby of the Concussory Grand. And we'll see you next week.
All right. We're in it.
We're in it.
We're back!
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged,
the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.